Hello and welcome to episode 32 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. I'm your host, Todd Dudley, and I'm joined, as always, by the editor-in-chief of ruck.co.uk and my co-host, Steve Smith. Steve-O, we're back again. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate.
I've taken you off mute. How are you doing, mate?
Oh, mate, for once I remembered. Mate, I don't even know what day it is. It's been a mental weekend, but Six Nations has been brilliant, hasn't it?
What a weekend, though. Some actually, like, genuinely good rugby to speak about, which is quite nice.
You know what? I thought, I was so tired after Saturday. Two incredible games. I thought, oh, this Italy game's going to be eventful. And then, you know, it kind of wasn't. So it was just a nice game to sit and watch, really.
Yeah.
I think we came out of the game with as many questions probably about England as, or more than we started with.
Just quite
in terms of what are the tactics. You know, Steve was saying, oh, we're going to do it game by game. But I don't know if that's a way to sort of build into a team that could win a World Cup, really.
No, I'd agree with that. I agree with the statement about more questions than answers. But some positives to take, for sure, which we will definitely get into. How do you want to do it? Should we go chronologically through the weekend?
Yeah, let's just fire through chronologically.
All right, so remind me what we had first.
It was Ireland against France.
Ireland-France.
Clash of the Titans.
Jesus Christ. That was some game of rugby.
Wow, what a game. So many great moments and, like, just the opening. Well, I would say a great first half.
Yes.
It was probably the best half of rugby we've seen. I can't remember since when.
I completely agree.
So many moments. The, you know, Pennard try, the James Lowe try, the Antonio yellow/red/orange/green
which we'll definitely card. Come on to as well.
And then Dupont's try, save and tackle. It's just outrageous.
Yeah, disgraceful. But so many moments, which we'll get into, but also the moments in between the moments.
Yeah, exactly.
Were just incredible as well. Like, the quality and accuracy and intensity and everything was, that's some of the best international rugby I've seen for a long, long time, I think.
I think someone said Johnny Sexton made more metres in 52 minutes than he had in his, like, previous 9 tests or something like that.
Who knew that Johnny Sexton had absolute wheels, by the way?
37, still flying.
It was ridiculous. There was one break he made where the commentator was like, I'm not sure Sexton's going to have the gas. Maybe Sexton will have the gas. He didn't quite make it, but
really pumped up, didn't he? From the anthems to the game, he looked so disappointed to come off. But I thought Byrne did an incredible job.
Well, I mean, we speak.
Have they finally found him replacement 10?
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
We speak about it a lot, and that did feel like a bit of the classic cliche, a seminal moment in Ireland rugby, because it actually felt like he came on, and rather than just like filling in for a bit, it kind of felt like he really made a difference and, like, saw out a game that they definitely could have lost at that point as well.
Man, what about Doris?
He is some player. Yeah, he is some player. The bit of play for
the Gary Ringrose try.
The Ringrose try. Where
I said the second half was rubbish, but we had that.
Like, firstly, his, like, speed of thought to recognise that ruck is going to shit, so he needs to get the ball out of the ruck ASAP. Does that. Then he peels away from the ruck. Then his ability to draw the man and then fizz a miss push pass across two men that doesn't go forwards whilst he's falling over and being tackled. Disgraceful.
Man, I thought Josh Van der Vleo was meant to be the world player.
Yeah, at the minute, it's Caelan Doris, mate.
Thing is, like, Peter Omani's sort of getting sort of mixed reviews, but it's like, I think Peter Omani's playing pretty well. It's just Van der Vleo and Doris are probably the two best back rowers in the tournament.
They're a joke. Yeah, Van der Vleo has gone from being the best player in the world to not even the best player in his back row, which is saying something for Caelan Doris. Like, he's doing pretty well. But do you see any weaknesses in Ireland's game, really? Because the chat has been about, you know, can they do it against a big pack?
I feel like one of the biggest things they've learned is that, you know, Furlong may be the best, but, you know, they're not much weaker with, is it Finlay Beelan?
Finlay Beelan, mate.
I think he's got 2 try assists.
Yeah.
The Six Nations, he's flying.
Yeah, and some serious dreadlocks on him as well.
It's like him and Finn Russell are the two master creators.
I think the fact they can do that without Furlong, with Sexton going off when he went off.
I think if they could just nick, like, George McGuigan as another reserve hooker, they'd be laughing.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, Herring and Canada did well, and they've got...
I know they are, but they, you mean... imagine they had another one.
Yeah.
I know, because Herring went off of an HIA. Yeah. Had a fourth one.
Yeah. It is pretty mad. But I think last week, we kind of mentioned that... Well, we actually haven't spoken since on the pod, but we kind of mentioned to each other that Italy were good and France weren't very good last week, which is why that game was close. But you can't say France weren't good this week. France were really good.
Pernod got a 10 out of 10 from Telegraph.
Ridiculous. Yeah, ridiculous. But they've conceded 4 tries. Like that must be the best a team has ever defended and conceded.
I think France fans would say they've conceded 3 and one was in touch.
Wow, yeah.
I'm still not sure. Even seeing that other angle.
He was definitely in touch.
Hey, if that Mark Quittle's was a try as well, mate, that's what I'm saying.
Mate. That's the new Quater. I don't think France win the game anyway without that, even in terms of momentum and not even just points, but he's definitely in touch, mate.
Yeah.
He's definitely in touch.
But
I think that is justice for how many times the France television people don't show replays that they should play.
I like their shithousery.
So do I, but you know, if you can give it out, you've got to take it sometimes.
Show a camera angle of someone's boots for some reason instead.
Two players
fading into each other.
It was a close call, wasn't it? And I can understand why when the on-field decision is try, I can understand why you haven't turned it over. But that angle that's come out since.
With the Antonio one, which everyone's saying was a red card, I thought in real time watching it, I didn't think it was.
No.
I think when you slow the replay down, you could say it is. I thought in real time, he sort of tries to get down, doesn't quite get down. But if you looked at, we'll talk about this later. If you looked at the Farrell incident again later on, with Negri, if you slowed that down, looked at the replay, you could give a red card. You could give red cards all day if you slow it down over and over.
No, I actually agree with you. I think the Antonio one was probably the right decision, to be honest. Like, I think first contact is shoulder/chest, and then that whiplash, because Antonio's 140 kg, so it's obviously a big hit.
It's just when they start slowing it down over and over again.
Yeah. But I think Barnsley made the right call there. Personally,
yeah,
I can see why you could definitely argue for it to be a red, but for me, it was the right call. And luckily, it didn't. You know,
Ireland for the Grand Slam. Then
it's hard to look past them, isn't it? To be totally honest, it is pretty hard to look past them.
Where have they got to go away to? Is it Italy?
Let's have a look. I just can't see. My issue is I just cannot see a...
I know Scotland
I cannot see a weakness in their game. That's my issue. They're away to Italy the week after next, after the Fallow week.
Step up Capuzzo.
Yeah. He's got to do a serious job there. and then where are they after that? That's probably the hardest game. They've got Scotland away. Scotland away, Sunday the 12th of March.
Someone was saying on the radio, how typical would it be Scotland to go and beat France and Ireland and lose to Italy?
That'd be gold. I'd absolutely love it. I'd absolutely love it. But actually, it probably speaks to the championship. Not an impossibility.
No.
I don't think they will beat Ireland and France. They might be one of them. I don't think they'll beat both of them. And they could lose to Italy. Like, Italy, even yesterday, they didn't show a lot, but like...
Second half, they
showed something.
Yeah, I agree.
They showed something. But it's been, what I'm excited for is 18th of March, Super Saturday, last game of the day is Ireland, England. And I just feel like over the last, well, not the last couple of years, but the last few years, I just feel like Ireland have ruined England's party quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like I think there's been at least two or three where England have ruined the Ireland Grand Slam. Oh, sorry, vice versa. Ireland have ruined an England Grand Slam. And I'd love it if we could do that. That'd be great. I don't think we will. I think we'll get panned by about 25 points. But
yeah, I think we'll get to us. But I think Ireland are just, the way they start games is like All Black, like in it, they just come out and steamroll you.
Yeah.
They try to steamroll at France. France sort of held on, but even then pulled ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just a little bit.
France are the best team around. So good luck.
I think what's super impressive for me from Ireland's point of view is, they've been in the past, they've been super, super structured. And when that's been going well, they look really, really efficient and really, really effective. And now they're kind of, I don't know whether it's just like a bit more cohesion or just a bit more used to the system, or maybe just a bit more freedom within the players themselves from the coaches. But they've got this unbelievable structure but then so many options within that structure. Yeah. So and they've got the right players in place with the right partnerships, so that they're choosing those right options.
Yeah, I think McCloskey and Ringrose is working wonders.
Yeah, it's just class. But like every time Sexton gets the ball out the back, he's got like four or five options.
Everyone wants the ball.
And exactly. Everyone's a viable option. Like, and he probably can't make the wrong decision because everyone there is a good player. Everyone's a good carrier. Everyone's in the right place. So even if it comes two or three phases later than it should, ultimately they're going to get the success that they want. They are proper, proper good. Do you think how much of it is to do with the crop of players / the coaches, and how much of it do you think is because realistically, if you were colourblind, you could definitely think you were just watching Leinster.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They play in exactly the same way with a bunch of exactly the same players, with a few Ulstermen and a few Munstermen thrown in. How much of it do you think comes down to that?
I think that could have always... Leinster's always been a strong team. And I think now it's just about... If that's what Andy Farrell's sort of doing, he's decided to do that. And it is working for them. But
yeah.
If Leinster, turn a corner and start playing badly, which I don't think they will, it could backfire. But I think it still takes a lot of good coaching from Ireland, to be honest.
Yeah. So congratulations, you're the New England coach. You're eyeing up that last fixture. You're trying to deny Ireland a Grand Slam.
Oh, God.
What are you doing to try and get at Ireland? What do you think? Is there much you can do? Or are you just hoping they have an off day and you have a good day?
Yeah, because you try and carry, they've got destructive back rows at the ruck.
Yeah.
You try and kick, they've got Keenan, who's a brilliant ball carrier, fast, elusive. You've got James Lowe, who I think's a very, very good kicker for a winger. Probably the best kicking winger in the Six Nations, I'd say.
Well, and you could maybe argue...
Well, maybe that's just because most wingers can't kick.
You could maybe argue Mac Hansen might be the second best as well.
Yeah,
Mac Hansen's very good, probably. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I guess you've just got to hope... Probably just the same as yesterday. Whack at the Lawrence and hope for the best.
Worked all right yesterday. I think you've just got to... I think you genuinely are in a position now where you have to hope they have a bit of an off day.
You've just got to try and get the momentum, but they come out... Such bigger.
And it's what England. It's going to be really. It's hard. What England did for a couple of years under Eddie Jones, where they would like
what England
score
did
the first
in Dublin
try.
Under Eddie Jones, that game. Very similar.
Yeah, and if you think back to that, like the New Zealand game, like when they used to score in the first 3 or 4 minutes every single game, which we're not doing at the moment, unfortunately. But Ireland look like that at the minute. They're just. But then you're right. You go through the team, and they're just full of either world class players or emerging world class players.
I feel like,
do you know what I mean?
Like Henshaw's not even in at the moment. He's a wonderful player.
But do you think
he wouldn't even get in at the moment?
Exactly. Like,
I think Ian Henderson's one of the most underrated second rows around, and even he's on the bench. But the bench is so good as well.
Mate, I had exactly that thought when Byrne got injured, because the commentator's words were something like, "That's a huge blow for Ireland." Something about him being irreplaceable or something like that, which he's unbelievable, Ty Byrne, absolute class. And then the commentator was like, and on comes Henderson for him. And I'm like, well, yeah, so they're fine. Like, you're not just bringing on a nobody.
Yeah. Like, I think James Ryan had a tough 2 years, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Missed out on lines.
He got given the captaincy and it sort of just unravelled a bit for him, but he has come back with some... Maybe you just, I think it was a bit like when Scotland made Hogg captain. I think wrong captaincy appointments can actually really negatively affect your team.
Yeah.
Because, Scotland aren't much different to last year, but they've just taken that pressure off. I know he didn't play much at the weekend, Hogg, but taking that pressure off him just allows him to play a bit more,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I want to go, if you go through Ireland's lineup here, Porter. You could probably put in a world-class bracket now. I think he's probably
such
there.
Such a good idea, switching the side of the
score. Genius.
Such a powerhouse as well.
Hooker, you're right. They probably don't have a world-class player. Furlong, when he's back in, would. Yeah, he is very good, isn't he? Byrne and Ryan,
Henderson.
Byrne is a lion. Ryan will be a lion.
Henderson's a lion, isn't he?
Henderson's a lion. Omani, lion, worldie. Van der Fleer... Van der Fleer didn't go on the lines, did he?
I can't remember. He must have been injured. I can't imagine he wouldn't have
I think he must have been injured. But, you know, World Player of the Year. Caelan Doris will be World Player of the Year.
Had a concussion issue, so that's why he wasn't on the
Lines. They've still got...
Jack Conan's a good player.
Yeah, he is a good player. I think they've done well to find Doris. Yeah, I think they've done well to find Doris. They've still got what's his bloody name? The New Zealand scrum half,
Jamison Gibson Park.
They've still got Gibson Park to come back in. Murray's doing very well, as obviously he is. Casey played well when he came on. Sexton, class. Byrne looks better. McCloskey and Ringrose, class. And then the back three is filth. Keenan, I think we said a few weeks ago on the pod that we were discussing whether Freddie Stewart was the best 15 in the world, and we didn't mention Keenan. We mentioned Jalibert, we mentioned Ramos, and I think that was about it, and we didn't mention Keenan. Turns out we should have mentioned Keenan.
Because
he's probably the best 15 in the world.
I feel like him and Doris, it's funny, because I think Keenan got man of the match against Wales, and Doris got man of the match against France. And I literally picked the could've same the two man of the match, but the other way around.
Yeah. Which is a good
sign. But they could have probably both been man of the match in both games.
Yeah. He's a very, very tasty player.
He's just no bullshit, you know. He's just always running lines, offering support.
But his defence is, like, he makes a... That's the thing I've not worried about, but noticed the last few times I've watched Freddie Stewart. He does actually miss quite a lot of those one-on-one tackles at the back.
I was going to say...
Which are hard to make. They are hard to make.
Probably had his two worst games nearly in a row.
Yeah, potentially. To be honest. Potentially.
Like, I know which tackle you're talking about, at least first try. I said it's nowhere near.
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't seem to be offering as much support to carry like he was early on. I don't know.
He'll be fine.
I think he might just be a bit lost in the tactics, because I think I was.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know what we were trying to do at times.
Which I'm sure we'll come on to.
Well, like we say, Ollie Hassel-Collin just touched the ball twice before he came on.
Yeah, strange.
I think Arundel actually only touched it once.
Score though, obviously.
Well, of course he did.
Shock horror. So yeah, in conclusion on that game, Ireland very good. France
also very good.
Also very, very good. Do you think they need to do anything particularly different? Or do you think they're just... They had to lose a game at some point, right? They've been on this unbelievable unbeaten run. They weren't going to go on that run, in all likelihood, until the World Cup final, win the World Cup final. Do you think losing now is maybe a bit of a blessing in disguise?
I think they're probably just having, as Edward said after the game, just get back to a bit... I think they're... Like, expansive players, good. Just need to get back a little bit back to basics on defence a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't concede as many penalties, but it's easy to say that against... They've played two away games and come out of them looking pretty good, to be honest.
Well, and I also think their discipline was poor against Italy, and they probably should have reacted better to the referee making those decisions. But I do think some of the penalties against Italy were a bit like, really? Like, what? Why?
I don't know, maybe it's another example of maybe you've put the captaincy on the wrong person. I've always think it should be a forward.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, we speak about this with Farrell as well. Like, do you need DuPont to be captain to get the level of leadership and performance out of him that you're going to get anyway? You really don't.
No.
Like, you really don't. I
mean,
he does.
The same with Farrell, really, like you said.
He does seem very level-headed and very good at, like, speaking to referees and that kind of thing
as well.
The
scrums and the rucks and stuff, you know? Yeah. You need someone in and around it, I think.
Would you
who concedes penalties, backs or forwards? It's more often forwards.
Yeah, yeah. Old Reed was captain for a while, wasn't he? And Olivon was.
Yeah, that's who I would look to. Or Willems there, or...
I think Old Reed is a guaranteed starter who's going to play most of the game.
It feels like
he?
England and France have just gone to the old cliche of just make your best player captain.
Like the schoolboy stuff.
Yeah.
We should talk about DuPont's try-saving tackle. You mentioned it earlier. It was on Hansen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Made him look like a baby.
Explain the physics of that. How on earth does that actually work? Like, it was like he...
Any criticism that Hansen went off to score?
No.
Not at all.
What's he supposed to do?
I don't know.
What is he supposed to do? He's done everything right there.
I feel like if that's you and you get held up by a scrum half, your coach wouldn't be happy.
But you're not being held up by a scrum half. You're being held up by Antoine DuPont. And he is not just a mere scrum half, mate. He's
a wizard.
He is a different breed.
Yeah.
It literally looked like magic. It looked like he'd like frozen Mac Anderson in time or something and then like repositioned him.
I've seen quite a few people like putting like Lord of the Rings memes on it.
Yeah.
Like, to Gandalf.
It was really, a worldly bit of defense, but how that actually works, I have no idea.
Breaking news. Antonio has been cited.
Look, as if that's come through as we're talking about France. How good is that?
Mate, there you go. 12:04, 3 minutes ago.
So, been cited, which usually would mean he's going to get a ban, right? They don't normally cite.
Cited after we've just gone off about how we fought.
How we think it's a yellow.
Appears to be the only sighting for now. You know, they used to have to do sightings within 24 hours.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
In the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they just sat that off now.
Wait to see what happens on social media. That's literally what it seems to be. You know, you had the Marla one.
Let's just see if this kicks off.
What was the other one? There was another one.
It was...
There was two within a couple of weeks.
There was. It was Marla and... Farrell,
yeah.
Yeah, Farrell. Yeah, because he got his ban.
I guess it's a way of doing things, but all you do by doing that, I think, is you increase the amount of people's kickoffery.
Yeah, because then they realise that they can actually make a difference if they do kick off.
Like, you would have thought if he was going to be cited, it would have been last night.
Maybe they just changed their working schedule, mate. Maybe they just have the weekend off.
Having some champagne
in
Paris.
Exactly. They're just chilling. Is it a worry for France that they defended, quote-unquote, so well but still conceded four, or is that just Ireland being too good?
I think it's a little bit of a worry, but, you know, I feel like you don't want to peak now. I think that's why everyone's saying Ireland's going to win the Grand Slam and go out in the quarterfinals. Everyone's making the same joke. But
they might not get out of the group, mate. They're in the group of death. They've got South Africa and Scotland in their group.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So, and Tonga.
Would it not be the second World Cup in a row if Scotland went out that they haven't even got out of the group
stage? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But they have.
You can't even blame them.
They've had some shitter groups.
Last time it was Japan that did them, which isn't actually as... And Japan were great, but this is even harder.
Well, this time they're going to have to beat a team that is better than them.
I would absolutely love it if South Africa went out.
I would love it.
I would
love it if they went out in the group stage. I would love it if Romania got through in that group, to be honest. That's what I'd enjoy.
Do they still have the same fullback or scrum half who's played for about 4 years?
It's his 12th World Cup or whatever. All right, that's got to be enough on Ireland and France. Ireland very good, France still very good. Let's not worry about that.
We'll fly through Scotland.
Next, Scotland-Wales. I mean,
Ben Russell class. Let's move on.
Is class even giving the man enough credit?
No, filth. Three try assists in one half.
Filth, I would say.
And they were all great assists as well. Like, all very different as well.
The
one was a long pass, one was a kick, one was an offload.
The offload's a joke.
Did you see the reaction where they cut to the box on the replay and Townsend thinks he's just knocked it on?
Yeah.
So he looks devastated.
So did the commentator. So the commentator's like, oh no, oh my God, it's a try. Like, he's just so... Because as soon as he picks up that ball, a lot of offloads are like off the cuff. So they'll like try and carry hard into contact and they'll think, oh, I've got my arm free. There's a player there. I'll try and get the offload away.
Yeah.
Finn Russell picks up that ball and straight away in his head goes, I'm going to take contact in this gap, get my arm through the contact before I take contact and offload this ball. Which people do, like, it happened across the weekend as well. He's not the only player that ever does that.
A bit similar to the Doris one.
Yeah. But to, A, think about that immediately, and then B, execute it in a 2v2 channel in the corner to lead to a try, and to execute it so perfectly is just absolutely outrageous.
I saw someone say, quite funnily, Finn Russell could have just scored, but that wasn't enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he probably could. He probably could have given like a little pump fake, gone through the gap and scored himself, but it's just not as fun.
Nah.
Madness. Absolute madness. And then, his cross-field kicks, he just makes the game look very, very straightforward.
It's going to be hard for Darcy Graham to get back in the team at this rate.
It's going to be hard for Darcy Graham to get back in. I do worry about Dunkey Weir, mate. I'm not going to lie.
You don't think he'll come back on?
I think Dunkey Weir might have had his day, which is devastating to say on the pod, but
You know. The one interesting debate that sort of came out of the game was 15. Kinghorn played very well.
He was excellent. Yeah, came on after 13 minutes and was excellent.
I would never write off Stuart Hogg because I still think he's world class on his day, though. I think he's incredible.
He is. But it's just great for Scotland to start having a bit more depth. Do you know what I mean?
Like
And even Gregor Horn at scrum half, this is without Ali Price in the squad, and without Cooney even in the mix at the minute, where he could be in the mix at some stage. They've got their backs on the bench were Horn, Kinghorn and Harris, which
it's amazing how Harris has sort of fell away. But
well, it's just because of that partnership with Jones and Tuipulotu, which, by the way, is unbelievable as well. Like,
they have refreshed their team probably more than we would give them credit for, because it was it not sort of Johnson and Harris.
Yeah,
it was sort of.
Yeah, it was. But I think they've seen. I think what they've got the benefit of is obviously not having many Scottish teams means that they've got these little partnerships that pop up every now and again.
Yeah.
And they play with each other week in, week out at club. Do well at club, and now they're just ripping up on the.
I still think they're missing Hamish Watson, but you know they've won 2 from 2, so.
Well, and you know, like
Crosby's done okay.
Crosby looked good. Brown came on pretty early.
Matt Ferguson, shout out to him. I think he's really, really impressed me first 2 weeks.
I think he's made like...
He's taken his time sort of...
Has he made like 50 tackles already or something stupid like that?
I think
that.
He's the top tackler.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been very good. He's been like quietly very, very, very good. Van der Merwe, I mean, we haven't spoken about it on pod yet. It's got to be one of the greatest Six Nations tries of all time against England last week, I would say. Definitely that I can think of.
Outrageous.
And he just looks like I saw
that run he had against Wales as well, mate. Like runaway bullet.
I can't. Someone tweeted. I can't remember who it was, so I can't give them credit. But someone tweeted that he's now playing like the kid who's realised that he's really quick and big. He's not just really quick and big. He's now realised. Oh wait, I am really quick and big.
Well, and he's just embracing it. He's sort of standing up a bit straighter, isn't he? You know, like really. God, when he comes.
I just can't believe how fast he is.
You do wonder, like, if the. Sometimes let him run through the 12 channel.
With Lawrence. Definitely. Let him come off the wing a bit. Definitely. But then when he does pick it up in that wide channel, oof. Jesus Christ. And you know, he's almost like Iron Robin on the right wing. You know he's going to cut in at some point, but there's nothing you can do about it because you're going to have a weak shoulder and he's just going to bust through you.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with Scotland, particularly in the second half. I think I texted my brother at some point and was like, are you watching? Turns out Scotland might be the best team in the world. I think it makes our loss against them last week look better, which is...
There we go, we take that.
Which is something. So we'll definitely take that. But yeah, they look really good.
I think we'll have a couple of minutes on Wales.
Yeah.
What you doing?
Wales, unfortunately, aren't very good.
No.
And I'm not really sure what... they're going to do about it, which is a shame.
They sort of did all right in the first half, but I thought that was more just because the game was attritional. But
I think that
back line's not working at all.
No, but it's funny because within the back line, like Hawkins is playing quite well, Dyer looks pretty sharp. And then it's probably everyone else that's struggling a bit. Thomas Williams is very good.
Bigger got quite a lot of shit for having to go with Dyer in the game at one point.
I think
he might have to come out.
I think he might. I don't think he necessarily needs to come out forever. But
no.
I think they might need to try something. Because he's not been at his best. I mean, obviously, they've had two tough games. They've had... a very good Ireland side and a Scotland side who are probably playing better rugby than they ever have. So it's tough. It'd be more interesting to see how they go against, realistically, Italy and England.
Yeah. I mean, the England game is the big one. What does he do? He took experienced players out, but then I was like, did he take... I think Tipperick's someone I would still have had on the bench.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed the shake-up in the back row, and on paper...
I thought Faletau, I thought he was one of the poorer ones last week.
Yeah.
I think Tipperick's, you know, looking
he's
at
He's got to be always
well,
worth having in your squad, hasn't he?
Yeah, looking at the league form as well.
Yeah. But that, I Chinza, Rafael and Morgan, I don't hate that, to be totally honest. Like, I do, it's pretty tasty. But do you need to find a spot for Tipperich, who's arguably one of the most talented players in the world that we've spoken about before? Do you need to find a spot for him? Maybe you do. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you do. I think on form, he's playing better than Falatau.
Yeah.
I don't think Falatau's playing very well. I think he's world-class Falatau on his day, but at the moment he's not. So there was definitely, towards the end of the game, when the game broke up, they just lost the plot.
I tell you what I'm not convinced on, which again, I don't necessarily like saying this. I just don't think George North's very good at 30. I think he does a job, and I don't think George North should be doing a job, because I think he's better than that.
I agree. I think he does some things well, but then he'll handling errors or knock-ons.
When was the last time we saw him make an outside break?
No. Never. When you compare that to sort of how...
Hugh Jones.
Yeah, Hugh Jones has been excellent.
Hugh Jones makes, great to see makes his like 16 breaks a game.
A bit like James Ryan, sort of had 2 years a little bit in the doldrums, but flying again.
Mate, he makes like...
Basically, since he went back to Scotland, he went on like his world tour and it didn't go very well.
If you go through the other 13s of note in the Six Nations, Hugh Jones makes clean breaks for fun.
Ring Rose,
worldie.
Fiku's played well. Fiku,
very good on the ball, but defensively, absolutely unbelievable.
Slade.
Who
was 12 and who was 13? I forget. Was it?
Lawrence was 12, Slade was 13.
Okay.
On paper. They didn't always set up like that, but that's how it was set up on paper. But Slade offers the distribution which like George North doesn't offer.
Just having that left foot kicker helped as well.
Like, I just don't see it with George North. I think it's a case of having some decent options as a back in the back three, and they have done for quite a while. So thinking we need George North to play, so let's stick him at 13.
I think considering he's meant to be one of their experienced players now, I don't think Liam Williams has played very well.
He just keeps getting carded, mate. He gets a yellow card every week.
I know.
Yeah.
He just still seems like... I love his off-the-cuff play, and he's a wonderful player at his best, but it just feels like he's still just playing like he's a 18-year-old, which is good and bad, you know?
I think
Gatlin will lose patience
I think Reece Amit will play 15.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think they'll have Dyer... Adams and Reece Amit. I mean, Adams can play 15, but I think Reece Amit has said he wants to play 15. And what Louis Reece Amit wants, Louis Reece Amit will get, I would imagine.
It's kind of, I feel like these results have just boosted his stock.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think he should be back for the next round, I think. Hopefully. I'm pretty sure I remember reading he was,
back.
Yeah. Which will help, but I mean, it's only going to help so much, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I thought their front row off the bench looked quite good. Like, I think Carre.
I don't think the front row has been the problem at all, because I think some of their better rugby players are in their front row. Yeah. I think the young lads. Ready to botch in it. Is it Chinsua?
I go with Chinza.
I think he's.
He's class.
Build the team around him.
Yeah, opinion. I think you're right. I think I saw a quote from him the other day saying that, like, I don't know if he said he is or he wants to be. Let's say he is, just for a bit of spice. He wanted to be like a blend of Maratoji, Alan Wynne-Jones and Courtney Laws.
Yes, I did see that.
I was like, fair play. That is a decent blend. If you can find that blend, that's pretty good.
Tommy Raphael's
very good. Jack Morgan looks great.
These are the players they need to build.
You know, they've got, and we're not.
It's honestly,
what's Josh Navidi doing? Is he about or is he done?
Wrestling, probably. His dad was a wrestler, I think, wasn't he?
You mentioned that every time he comes up on the podcast.
He was a wrestler.
He was wrestling. Yeah, he's wrestling.
He's wrestling. But they need someone to be wrestling at that ruck there. I honestly think it's their main issues is in the backs, like you've said.
Mm.
I mean, the pack's running out of steam, but they're having to get through a lot of work.
But is there...
Can you think of one time Wales have sort of cut loose?
No, exactly. There was a moment, and actually Italy did this as well, and it's something that really annoys me. They got, Wales had like two like big gain line winning carries in a row. And the third phase Bigger was like 12 metres behind the game line. It just wasn't taking the ball flat at all, which just allowed Scotland to just like rush up, apply pressure, and then like cut up all the momentum. And I was like, you've got to be... I understand sitting back in the pocket when you haven't got momentum, but when you've got gain line, you then have to take the ball to the line flat and like actually like try and provide something, can produce something. You can't just sit back the whole time and just shift it out
to
George North.
He's like a cat with nine lives bigger. Every time you think he's done,
he then has a worldie.
Sort of bring him back. He'll probably go and get man a match against England now. Probably. But that won't solve their problems, you know. They'll then go and lose the next game.
Because if they win, and this is always my issue, if they win, the takeaway from it will be passionate Wales, physical Wales, emotional Wales. It won't be anything to do with Wales playing well.
Yeah.
It will be they dug it out, they like worked really hard for each other, they defended really well. It's like, yeah, fine, that's great, lads, but play some rugby, God's sake. Like, play some rugby. They just don't do it. They just don't do it. And they're not going to do it now Gatland's back. So
he needs to find a new... Is Jamie Roberts still available?
I hope so, mate. They should get him in as the club doctor so he can teach Hawkins how to just carry the ball up.
You just got to whack through.
But also, they've got Hawkins in, which is great. He looks quite good. But that means Tompkins isn't in. And Tompkins has been one of their best players.
I play Tompkins at 13 at the minute.
Me too. Over North, 100%.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening with Wales. Usually their players just disappear. Like, what happened to Johnny Williams as well?
Yeah. I think they might get the wooden spoon. I'm calling it.
I think they might.
I think they might.
They could easily beat England as well.
They could still get the wooden spoon. Because I don't think
they'll get a bonus point win against us.
Where are their... Let's have a look at their...
They've got Italy away, so that's a big one.
Do you know where Wales are for the rest of their games? Let's have a look.
They've got England at home, Italy away, and then France at home. France.
They'll lose to France wherever they are, mate.
France away, I think.
They're not good enough to beat France.
I only say that because I went to Italy and France at home at Wales 1 year, which means they would usually alternate.
England at home in the next round.
Then Wales and Italy away, I think.
And then...
Two away games. Wait,
Italy away, France away. Yeah. So they
Gats
could
must
they,
be really regretting.
They could they could process. Like pretty comfortably lose the rest of their games.
Their best chance of winning is, I actually think, against us.
I completely agree. I mean, Italy away, who knows? But you can't now say that that's like a guaranteed win like you used to be able to.
Well, no, I beat them last year.
Yeah, exactly. At the Principality. So Wales are in Strugsville for me. I think they're destined for the wooden spoon, and you know, Welsh people, I love you, but I don't love you. I don't love your rugby team. So, if you got the wooden spoon, I can't say I'd be too devastated.
Sorry, lads.
Yeah. Anyway,
to Twix.
To sum up that, Scotland good, Wales not.
To Twickenham.
On to Sunday and Twickers. England 31, Italy 14. Much better. Still not perfect.
A lot of possession.
Yeah.
Not much doing, really. Lot of kicks. But what you would say, much better atmosphere, great intentions.
Yes.
Lot of effort.
Yes.
Won the game. Bonus point win.
Way
was
better.
Was it bonus point win?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Five tries. Way better defence. Thought that, like, not just, like, missed less tackles and conceded less tries, just, like, the shape and intensity in defence and competition at the breakdown was excellent. Most of that was led by Jack Willis for me.
Game changer, I thought, absolutely
class.
Last week, about in the opening round, the back row just wasn't really competing at all.
No. It's funny because, like, I think we both said, like, oh, no, we definitely have Ben Earl starting. Like, he's been great. And now I'm like, Ludlam was class as well, just quietly. And Willis was outstanding. I mean, he played for 52 minutes and got man of the match. I mean, Lawrence got man of the match, but...
Willis
was man of the match. Absolute revelation, mate. I think he was unbelievable.
I think, yeah, he's got a start. First name on the team sheet at the minute.
He has to. Yeah, he was
there's
so good.
There's not many
so
changes
good.
He'd make, really.
No, there's not, actually.
Arundel maybe in for Hassel Collins.
Maybe.
But neither are getting the ball.
No, so but it would be not...
Also, if we're just going to kick and chase all day, we better wait to put Arundel on near the end.
We'll
just run them into the ground.
Let's talk
a good
about
fitness session.
Let's talk about the kicking. There was a lot of kicking,
outrageous,
which we kind of I think we kind of semi expected it. I think what we probably didn't expect is so much kicking in the kind of red zone in the 22.
Yeah.
And a lot of it,
To be fair, Jamie George was looking devilish on that wing.
He was. I thought he was.
That's what makes you even more surprised. Like, even when Hassel Collins is on, we're kicking to Jamie George.
But I thought the frustrating thing is, or the weird thing is, a lot of the kicks were very good kicks. Do you know what I mean? They turned the defence. They put them under a bunch of pressure. Now with the rule change, you get the ball back because it's just a drop out from the goal line anyway. So there are a lot. There's, in theory and on paper, there's actually nothing wrong with the kicks because they're executed well and they have a good outcome, a positive outcome. But I do think if we just keep it in hands for two or three more phases, particularly against Italy,
especially when you're dominating possession as we were,
I think you're going to score a try. So
yeah, because the carry count wasn't actually on our players wasn't really high at all compared to what you think. I'll tell you one outrageous thing. I was looking at the stats this morning just to go back to Scotland. Finn Russell has the joint most carries in the Six Nations.
Of course he does.
30 in two matches. Outrageous. Back to England though, not enough carries.
Not enough carries. I
don't think anyone got far over 10.
And you text me, I think during the game, I had to catch up because I was out golfing. But you text me during the game saying, it feels like this has been completely set up for Smith to play and they picked Farrell instead.
But yeah, because like, that's the way Smith plays, you know, just sort of the little kicks in behind, sort of clever play. I always think of Farrell, you know, Farrell did some good passing into Lawrence, but it just wasn't that much of it. It felt like Smith should have been playing in that game plan. But the problem is if you play Smith and he plays well, it's hard to then take him out and put Farrell back in. I think he wants to keep Farrell in. I guess that's the problem.
but that's partly the problem, which again we've spoken about before, with having Farrell as your captain. You are handcuffed a little bit. He's kind of got to start. Like obviously he doesn't technically have to start because someone else can captain them.
Can we just play him prop or something?
Play him a prop.
I'm imagining him being a bit of a.
He'd probably be all right.
Aggressive loose head.
I think he'd be all right at six, maybe. I reckon.
Because you want him on the field because of his attitude, his drive, his leadership. But at the same time, because I think you take him out of the team, you will lose something. But would we play better?
I also think you want him on the pitch for his rugby.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's playing how he plays for Sarries. Because the last, you know, this season for Sarries, he's been a bit of a revelation. He's been amazing. It's just not transferring over to the international side.
How unimpactful our wingers were, both of them. I thought Malins wasn't that great either, but he's got credit in the bank.
And he was on the day, he was better than Hassel Collins.
He was better because he had some more of the ball.
Yeah, yeah. I feel a bit fast, Collins, because I think you might be right. I think we might see a change there.
The only reason I think you might not is because of what I said, because of they don't want to just have Arundel chasing balls for 60 minutes.
No, and Hassel Collins for me is like a... No disrespect to Josh Bassett, he's like a much better version of Josh Bassett.
Yeah,
in that his fundamentals and his basics are outstandingly good.
Give Caden Murley a run there.
Yeah, I mean we've mentioned that before as well. I'd love to see Caden Murley, but then I'd love to see Arundel as well. Yeah. So I can't, you know.
If we're being positive, you'd start Arundel, but I just if we're going to play that way, where it's just lots of kicks and chases.
Oh mate, I was devastated when the ref they knocked the ball on.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Tomasso Allen flew a little out the back door offload that went straight to Arundel and the ref blew for our scrum rather than just letting the advantage go.
I think the problem is as soon as the knock on happens and that guy picks up the ball, he's already whistling for the knock on.
Yeah.
I think
I was
going to react negatively to that, but he was just already in the middle of blowing the whistle. But
he was just going to go. He was going to go.
He was going to go.
Yeah. But he still scored with his first actual touch of the game. So, you know, it's fine.
The ref was... Didn't help himself throughout the game, but that's one of the things when you start to get turned on, even if you just make like a small minor, it's not even an error. He did what he was gonna do. Yeah. It's just when people are already on your back, it just makes it worse.
Yeah. I want to go through each player because I think there's a few that are really standing out at the minute, or at least did yesterday. Genge,
class,
absolute class, mate. The work he's done on his like ball skills and handling is unbelievable.
I was going to say he'd be my captain, but I don't know. Maybe, definitely.
Top two or three. He's at his little like pull back pass for one of the tries.
He did manage to destroy Kyle Sinclair's nose.
He did with his boot. and got absolutely shedded by Negri. He was trying to smoke him, and Negri just like brushed him away.
Love Negri, well played.
He was unbelievable when he came into the squad, but I think he's like most improved player.
Yeah.
He's just added so much to his game.
I agree.
He's not just a psycho basically anymore. He's just like added so much.
He's still got that, but.
Jamie George is just excellent. He's just always excellent. Never has a bad day, really. I think he was like 21 out of 21 lineouts or something class. Stupid.
So many lineouts though.
Yeah, I know.
Sinclair.
Better.
Sinclair's not his best, great, but a couple of years ago he was the best tight end in the world. So the only way from there is down.
Yeah,
and I think he's on his way back up.
Agreed. That's Itoji's best game in England shirt for me for like.
I feel like I've never seen Itoji trying so hard.
Yeah.
I think he knows he's not quite where he wants to be. Yeah. So it used to come naturally to him. Now he's having to actually try.
But he was just
everywhere.
He was just a nuisance. He's just so annoying to play against because he's literally just everywhere all the time. He's so aggressive. Like, who did he give? He gave Kanoni like the biggest dead leg in the world, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, that looks so sore.
Lamaro.
Lamaro, that was it.
Yeah.
I think that was, like I said, I think that's his best game for a long time. Ollie Chessum, I called it before the Six Nations.
You did, mate. Look at you.
I said he was going to have a breakout Six Nations, and he is.
See you later, Courtney.
And he is. He is. He's just proper, mate. He's 22.
That's your second rule. Settle on that.
Yeah, correct. 100%. Don't worry about. Ribbons is off to France. Fine.
See you, pal.
Ezekwe's not the one for me. If you want Laws back in, put him at six instead of Ludlam.
What's Launchers up to?
Itoji and Chessum.
That's the two.
That is the two. That is the
front row is probably the front row as well.
I agree.
So we're getting there. The back row is almost the back row as well. So we're flying.
Yeah.
Just needs more consistency.
Ludlam.
That's why it's worrying when Borthwick talks about, we have tactics for different games. It's like, no, mate. No.
I think that's just semantics for not picking Smith.
I hope so.
That's all I think that was. I think that's the classic. I'm going to pick the best team that I think is ready to play this game.
You ever thought
week,
about
okay?
doing impressions? That's pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just got to get better. It's very, very similar to my Farrell
interviews feel so pre-prepared.
They're so pre-prepared. He goes straight into his script immediately.
I love it.
He'll get
you
asked
ask him
anything.
A question and the answer is just not
What did you have for tea last night?
The team.
Well, actually, whilst I was having my tea, I was thinking how we need to be better each week. Ludlam, I thought, was just exactly what you want from your six. Just went about doing
22
his business,
tackles,
smashing people, being a nuisance. Also, actually had some good moments with the ball as well. Like,
I think him and, like we said, him and Willis are balanced well with each other.
Yeah, agreed. Earl was good when he came off the bench as well. I think he's a bit more of a hybrid, so
you've got a good sort of base between them.
He's destined to be an impact player off the bench for England, I think.
And I guess if we had an injury to Dombrat, would you put a Ludlam at eight and bring her along?
I think that's what happened. Ezekwe.
Yeah, it was
and then
strange.
And then what did happen? I think Ezekwe maybe just started
Earl came
stayed
on for
at
Willis,
six. Earl came on for Willis and then Ludlam played back row.
No wonder the game broke.
Played number eight. And then in the backs, Van Portfleet.
You didn't mention Dombrandt.
Oh, yeah, Dombrandt.
Not convinced yet.
I'm not convinced.
I think the problem he has is how well Doris is playing, though. You know, like when other players are playing really, really well, Ferguson's playing really well. I think that makes it hard.
Aldreet is always very good.
Dombrandt.
He was better this week than he was last week.
I know, and that's all you can ask for, really, a little bit.
And I think he's. I think he's more of the answer than Sam Simmons is. But I think the answer is Zach Mercer, to be honest.
Don't write off Callum Chick at your peril, Matt.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The one thing I'd say, I like Chick. So
he'd do a fine job. But I think like we've seen with, like Willis playing in France, now
doing
a job
Simmons
for
isn't the answer. That's
Simmons isn't the answer for me. I think Zach Mercer could be the answer.
Yeah, agreed.
But we'll. It wouldn't surprise me if Zach Mercer starts at eight in the World Cup, but we'll see.
They should just put the rule in the bin.
Get in the bin. Van Portfleet, again, not
better than last week.
Better than last week, but again, not at his best. But again, he started.
Very impressive.
Like Stewart, Mitchell was good, wasn't he? Filthy assist roundel.
He looks more like a young Ben Youngs, yeah. Young Matt Dawson, more not just a lot of substance, not just style.
But good when the game's
broken up. Can anyone run that sideways?
But good when the game's broken up.
Yeah, I've never seen a player run sideways so effectively.
Is he good from minute one?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know. And I also, again, I've said this before, I still think Rafi Quirk's the best nine in England, so I think we're all just treading water until Rafi's fit and firing, to be honest. But yeah. Anyway. But yeah, Van Portfleet, similar to Steward, I think because of how well they started, anything less than like pretty much perfect, people are going to say, oh, well, he wasn't great. And it's like, well, no, he still was very good. Yeah. So
I think just as long as players were better than the week before, that's what we were looking for. And yeah. I think he was a lot better. I thought the week before, I thought he played. Do you know what? He kicked a lot less, didn't he, I think,
yep.
This week. They sort yep. of moved. But then why did they have him kicking if he's not as comfortable? You know, work better. It's fine. It's better.
And then we've mentioned Farrell. We've mentioned the back. We've mentioned the wingers. The big one to mention, really, is the centre partnership. Lawrence and Slade, they played once or twice together before. It did work yesterday. Farrell wasn't perfect, but those two.
I like those two.
It looks
nice. I think
nice.
That's what I'd stick with for Wales, definitely. I'd stick with it.
If we're talking about combinations to stick with, that for me is like, give that a good run for a while.
Yeah.
And just see.
I'd give it the rest
see.
Of the Six Nations.
Yeah, I agree. Even if you think, you know, should we try Elliot Daly or should we go Farrell and Smith again? Like, just give it a run.
I see Daly and Manu as the backups to
yes.
Slade and Lawrence because they're similar players.
Or maybe Lawrence is still the backup to Tuilagi, but what is great about that is that...
I don't think he is at the minute. I think he's
no, I agree, but if that's... Maybe that's what someone else would say, but what's great is that you don't need to completely change your system
style.
Of playing your style if there is an injury.
Yeah.
So if
sure.
Lawrence gets injured... We could put Manu in and he could do the same job. Or if Manu was playing, then we could put Lawrence in and he could do the same job. Same with Slade and Daly.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not, shit, Manu's injured, so we've got to completely change how we're going to play, which I think is a much better place to be in. I think having a system and backup players and more players that can fit in within that system is a much better place to be.
I agree.
Think. If Farrell wasn't captain, say Gendra was captain... Would you honestly stay, don't know the answer to this
yeah, question.
Neither do I. Because I don't think I'd want Farrell coming off the bench.
Just like I don't really find Smith coming off the bench that useful at the moment.
But he's not when he has 7 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
But he might be if you were chasing a game and he had 20 minutes or 15 minutes. But it'd give him 7 minutes against Italy at the end of the game.
That doesn't seem
what's
much point.
What's the point of that? So...
I was thinking, I don't even want to go on...
I think.
What, George Ford's going to come back and we'll have the same two playoffs again?
I think Dunkey Weir needs to not play for 3 years for Scotland. And then
he probably has now.
Yeah, probably.
Stand down period. I don't know
I
the
think
answer.
Basically
I don't think Beaufort knows. Nobody knows the answer.
What I'm basically asking is how far away do you think we are from what you consider to be our best team?
Probably not far, just because I can't think of who else could come in.
Yeah.
I think our bench needs some work. I don't think they offered much in terms of the front row. And
no, I'd say the front.
We look significantly weaker after the changes.
I'm not convinced by Zeke at the moment.
No. He's had quite a long time off, so that's why it seems strange thrusting him straight back in the international arena.
He's the classic case of
doing
a job.
I think he's a great player,
job.
But do you not have 3 or 4 months out and then hardly played for Saris and straight back in the England?
Yeah. It's hard.
He needed time to build himself back up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I like Ezekiel personally, but you know he doesn't look his best at the moment. And who would be at their best after?
Yeah.
I think, it wasn't really announced why he was out, but it was like September to early January.
Yeah, I think so.
Out?
Yeah. So a long time.
And you know, I think second row is a position you got to sort of start up the engine.
Yeah.
Like Laws hasn't come straight back in.
No,
he wasn't
exactly.
out as long
yeah.
as that.
Yeah.
Laws is just chilling.
I think Mako looks good, you know. I think he's re-found a bit of something.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he actually adds something off the bench rather than just coming on to give Genge a rest. I think he actually adds something, which is nice, and it means Genge can just go balls to the wall for an hour, and that he looked absolutely shagged when he came off. He looked so tired. He could probably keep
the return hasn't been as glorious, I think, as he would have hoped.
No, but he's fine, isn't he?
Yeah, there's just not many options, really.
And I think if you...
That's probably our worry is...
If you're under pressure in the scrum, having him to bring on is a good option. Like for example, think back to the World Cup final. If you'd had Dan Cole on the bench and you could bring him on.
Did he not come on?
No. In the World Cup final?
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
I'm sure he came on for Sinclair after 2 minutes and had to play 78 minutes.
Oh, of course he did. Yeah. Of course he
but
did.
But you don't really want to play 78 minutes.
But you don't
want
to play 78 minutes, yeah, which is kind of the point, yeah.
Farrell should have went to Ihead.
Yeah, stick him in there.
Jack Noel.
But I think we're getting somewhere.
I'd bring Noel back in, you know.
Would you?
If we're just going to kick and chase.
Good point. Well, in that case, you bring Johnny May back in as well. Mate, there's no better man than chasing a ball around than Johnny May.
You know what? Bring one of them. Because like you said, Hassel Collins got the ball twice in the game.
Yeah.
It's not really a strength. You know, you look at the way London Irish play, they rip it up.
Yeah, he's used to getting the ball in a bit of space, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I think it was a great time to play an Italy side that actually posed some questions. I think if we were playing Italy of 4 years ago, I don't think we'd have actually learnt much. But because Italy are still not super strong, but a lot stronger and actually a test now, I think this was a perfect week to play Italy. And we've now got a week off to consolidate some of that, get some more time.
Italy just have a few too many positions at the moment still where the players just aren't playing well enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to shout anyone out in particular, but...
I'll shout him out.
Oh.
Don't worry.
Here he comes.
I don't think Tommaso Allan's good enough. Not going to lie. I think he plays far too deep for Italy, which I don't understand why, because he plays flat when he plays Quins.
Look at you.
Yeah. I don't mind. I'll say it.
Stephen Varney?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like an international. No.
Bang average, mate. Bang average. And obviously, either their system's wrong or he doesn't trust himself kicking. Because it was a bit better this week.
He had about three blocked against France,
it was a bit
France,
better this week.
So.
But in France, but then they started passing it 25 metres back to Tommaso Allan, who would kick 20 metres. So they'd have like a 5 metre loss off a ruck. It's like, what are you doing, lads? What are you doing?
Bring back Garbisi.
They need Garbisi back big time for me. Allan is a good player off the bench. Same for Quins, I think. I think he's a good player to have on the bench.
I like him, to be honest.
So do I.
He hasn't played so well for Italy.
And I think a big part of that is he plays too deep. Capozzo, whatever his name is.
Capozzo.
He's great. Love him. Padovani's good. Ignacio Brex is good. Marisi's good. They're good. They are actually
need
quite good.
Sort of lead, like the orchestra. What's the word? Who leads an orchestra again?
Conductor.
They need the conductors to
They need Garbisi
help them
back.
Play.
Yeah, they need Garbisi back. Good to see Jake Peledri get some time on the pitch as well.
That was fantastic. See, one of the good stories of the weekend. It was a great weekend, really, in terms of...
It was. Willis,
not too many negatives.
Willis back for England.
Yeah.
Peledri back for Italy. Yeah. Very good to see. Very good to see.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Mate, that's going to have to
be...
Fire
off for the
train. I've got a train to catch.
Scotland call up incoming.
Yes, I'm heading up to Scotland for unofficial pod work. no, it's not really. It's for Valentine's Day. But yes, I suppose we should probably at least... tell people who got to the Premiership Cup final, which was, I can't even remember now. Christ, who was it? London Irish beat Northampton Saints, and then Exeter Chiefs absolutely dismantled Sale 46-3. So the final will be London Irish against Chiefs. But no one really cares about that.
I found it interesting yesterday watching the Super Bowl that the Chiefs still use the thing. Do you know, like, the thing Exeter used?
Yeah, they're still allowed. It's fine. It's America, isn't it? They can do what they want.
Yeah, but they don't use that branding, but they still use that.
They're cool. The war cry.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Sorry for the abrupt finish, people, but as I said, I've got a train to catch, and I still haven't packed, and I would imagine my better half is probably worrying that we're going to be late for our train. So that does it for episode 32 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, which is brought to you. Another one in the can. Brought to you by ruck.co.uk and RTS Images. You can find us on Twitter at Ruck Rugby, Instagram at ruck.co.uk, and you can just search Ruck Rugby to find us on TikTok and Facebook. Visit our website, ruck.co.uk, for all of the latest rugby news and features. of which there are plenty at the moment, so go and check it out. And links to all of that, those channels and our website can be found in the episode description down below. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to, rate and share the podcast. We've got a fallow week this weekend, so enjoy the weekend of Prem, and we will see you next week.